morning, everyone.
Good morning.
If we've not met before, my name is Andy Gowland. I'm married to Katie, our youth and children's pastor. I have two children, Florence and Dora, and I'm a deputy head teacher in a school in Thurrock. And it's my privilege to be able to share my reflections on one of the most beautiful passages of scripture in the Bible, Psalm 23. Ever since I was young, I've always been fascinated by superheroes. I've loved watching TV programs. I've loved going to the cinema with friends to watch and to learn and to enjoy the wonder and the marvel that is superheroes at work, doing their thing, saving the world from the ills of life and possible destruction of the planet. And there is no more iconic superhero than the Man of Steel, Superman himself. If you don't know, where have you been? But if you don't know, Superman is indestructible. He can fly, he can see through walls, he can fire fire beams through his eyes and blow ice and wind through his mouth. No one can beat Superman. And in the original film, there is an iconic scene where a man is stuck in an inferno of flames and Superman swoops in to save the day, saves the man, grasps him, picks him up and flies him home. And as they're flying, Superman senses that the man is full of fear. I guess I understand why. And Superman says, "Why are you afraid?" And the man says, "I'm scared. You're going to drop me." And then Superman pauses for a moment and replies, "You trust me to save you from the fire. Why won't you trust me to take you home safely?" And that line can resonate with us as Christians, because sometimes in our Christian walk, we can trust in God to get us to eternity. We can trust in God for our salvation, but yet we struggle to trust in God for our story. We see God in the big and in the miraculous, but yet struggle to find him in the small problems and details of life. And if that's you this morning, then this next name of God is perfect for you. And as I said, it comes from Psalm 23, a psalm written by David. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." We're going to take this poem, this passage of scripture, line by line this morning, and talk about how it can impact our lives today. So it starts with, "The Lord is my shepherd." The Lord could be translated as Jehovah, the self-revealing one. And shepherd in Hebrew, rohi, which means to tend, to pasture, to shepherd. But notice, David uses the present tense. The Lord is my shepherd. It's not the Lord has been or was my shepherd. It's not the Lord will be or could be my shepherd. It is that the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my Jehovah Rohi. And then he uses the personal pronoun my. While I'm sure David recognized that God is the shepherd to all people, he saw him as a personal shepherd, a God that was interested in him. So in these first five words of this poem, we see already that David focuses and declares that God is his shepherd. But why does David use the language, the word shepherd? Well, King David, early on in his life, was a shepherd boy, tending his father's flock. And yes, he grew to be a mighty king, but it all started there for David, looking after some sheep. And so David uses that understanding of the role of shepherd to connect his relationship with God and calls God his shepherd. Yes, God is the shepherd to all, but he is my shepherd, your shepherd. He is a right now God. And so David continues, I shall not want. God has David's back. He has him covered. He can meet all his needs. But let's look then at this word shepherd and the imagery that's used around it. In Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 4, God promises that he will provide his people with a good shepherd. And as a result, they will fear no more, nor be dismayed, nor shall they be lacking in anything. In Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 2 to 4, we go on to read that God explains what he expects a good shepherd to do. He expects the shepherd to feed the flock, to strengthen the weak, to heal the sick, to bind up the broken, to bring back the strays and seek the lost. That's what God expects of a shepherd. And there's more. The good shepherd lays down his life. John chapter 10, verse 11. Those are the images that we're given of a good shepherd. To heal the sick, to feed the sheep, to go after the strays and the lost. But most importantly, to lay down his life. We have a God who has laid down his life for us. Will we recognise it? But we can't accept the imagery of the shepherd without thinking about the sheep. And who are the sheep? Us. We're the sheep. And unfortunately, sheep are a little bit stupid, a little bit dumb. That may sound harsh on sheep, but it's true. If in a flock of sheep, one of the sheep starts to go in a circle, soon two, three more will start to follow. And before you know it, the whole flock are going round and round in a circle. You see, sheep need a shepherd. They need a guide. If you go to a zoo, a circus, or a water park, you'll find lion tamers, dolphin handlers, penguin shows, sea lion shows. You won't see a sheep trainer in action. Sheep can't be trained. They can't jump through hoops or roll over or go fetch. They don't have the intellectual ability to be trained. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned their own way. But God has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Isaiah 53, verse 6. Sheep are defenseless. They need someone to protect them from predators, from the wolves and from the coyotes. They need help. Sheep get dirty. They have thick, woolly coats. Sweat and dirt fills up in those coats. They need to be cleaned. They need to be sheared. Sheep are dependent on the shepherd for protection and for navigation. Otherwise, they wander around in circles. But the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. We then read that the shepherd will take his sheep to green pastures, to quiet waters, and a restored soul. We've all probably experienced having a flat tyre on our car. But I wonder sometimes if experience having a bit of a flat soul, it feels like God is on holiday. It feels like God is distant. Our spiritual get up and go has got up and gone. And we just feel a bit flat. If you're a parent of young children, or in fact any children, you'll know that getting them to go to sleep or have a nap is a struggle. No matter how tired they may be, they'll find every excuse in the book to avoid it, even though you know as a parent that they desperately need a nap or to go to bed. Oh, just 5 more minutes, Dad. I've got 7 more minutes on YouTube to go. I'm just finishing this game. Any excuse. And as adults, as Christians, we can sometimes fall into the trap of thinking that we can just solve it all ourselves. We can use our money, our understanding, even maybe our wisdom to sort out all the problems we have. But notice in this passage, it says that God will make us lie down in green pastures. God wants us to get to the end of ourselves, to relinquish that control, to rest in him and to lay down. To lay it down, lay down that control so that God can do his work in us and in our lives. And the shepherd leads the sheep to quiet, still waters. And that's because sheep don't have a sure footing. If sheep are in a river or in water, they're too focused on standing up to start drinking. They're too worried about falling downstream or getting caught by the current. So a shepherd needs to take sheep to still waters. And if they can't find still waters, then the shepherd will carve out a small channel so that water can flow in and create a still and calm space for the sheep to drink. God wants to provide calm, still environments for us to find rest and for our souls to be restored. But we have to relinquish our own self-control. David then says that the Lord will lead him in paths of righteousness for his namesake. The top 3 things that couples argue about, apparently, is money, household chores, who's going to do the bins, who's going to do the dishwasher, and then it's navigation. I'm sure now you're all thinking of times in your own lives when you've had arguments over navigation. It doesn't matter that we live in an age with the best technology for getting us from point A to B. Somehow it can still go wrong. Somehow we can still find ourselves in an argument. I mean, that has never happened between Katie and I. Unfortunately, it has. But our GPS systems are designed to get us from A to B, often in the quickest route, even sometimes going through rather obscure country lanes. Google Maps, other GPS systems are available, will take us from point A to B in the quickest route. But if I'm struggling, if I'm lost, it's no good picking up someone else's GPS in a car because they're going to a different place. It's no good piggybacking off the back of someone else's relationship with Jesus. We all need to recalibrate our starting point, recognize where we are in our walk with Christ, and go from there, relinquishing that control and allowing God to be our Jehovah Rohi, our good shepherd who has good things in store for us. Elsewhere in the Psalms, David writes, "O magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together," from Psalm 34. We can't make God's glory any bigger than it is, but we can reflect his glory on a larger scale so that others will be able to see it as well. And all to give honour and glory to his name. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Valleys, shadows, a rod and a staff. Between two mountaintops, there always has to be a valley. If you're on a mountaintop in your life, life is good. Relationships are good. Money's good. Job's good. Church is good. Everything seems to be going well. The reality is, as we all know, that there will soon be a valley because we can't jump from mountaintop to mountaintop. But notice in this passage that David says, though I walk through the valley. Walk through the valley. No matter the situation that you are in, good or bad, God is a good shepherd. In the valley, the mountaintops cast a shadow over the valley. And for the sheep, it can make them feel like night is drawing in and the enemies surround them. And for us, in the valley, the mountaintops can cast a shadow because we can look back on what God has done in the past and think, why is that not happening now? Why am I in this difficult situation? It's not fair. It's not right. And we can stay in the valley. When Florence was really small, we used to have a pass for Colchester Zoo. Florence loved the giraffes and the elephants, and we would go. But I really loved seeing the tigers and the lions. So as part of that, we'd always go and see the lions. And Florence didn't like that as much. But on one particular occasion, we were going round, and as is often the case, all the lions were doing was just kind of chilling out, lazing around, doing nothing. Oh, that sounds blissful sometimes. But on this one occasion, this huge lion kind of got up and stood tall and proud and just let out this almighty roar. Florence was petrified, and she started to run. And I was just kind of like, what's going on? She said, Daddy, Daddy, come on quick. The lion is going to get us. I got her. We had a hug. I said, no, it's a mighty roar. But that lion is in a cage, in a fence. When we're in the valley, sometimes we focus on the roar of the lion. We focus on the problem. But we don't look at the cage. And that's the shepherd who is guarding and who is protecting us. A rod and a staff. As part of a shepherd's kind of equipment, they would have a rod. And the rod would be used to fend off predators and to defend the flock. And the staff would be used to get sheep out of difficult situations they found themselves in, like being stuck in a thicket, pulled out. And it would be also used to point the direction. God, our shepherd, rescues us from the valley and points us towards the mountaintop if we recognize him as Lord. He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup is overflowing. The imagery used in this part of the poem relates to the fact that a shepherd would carry on their belt a cloth. And when they would go out and find the lost or the stray sheep, they would lay this cloth out on the floor, fill it with grass and fodder, and the sheep could come and eat. And the shepherd would stay with the sheep until they were ready to join the flock. The predators or enemies would watch on, but they would see the shepherd and they would know that they couldn't attack. Are we prepared to recognize God as the shepherd that prepares a table for us in front of our enemies? Because God is bigger than any enemy situation that that we find ourselves in. He prepares a table for us. And also the shepherd would have a small pot or cup of oil with them so that when the sheep were caught in a thicket and they were pulled out, if they had a cut or a scratch, the oil could be used to heal or to soothe them. God anoints us with his oil to heal and to soothe us, no matter the situation that we find ourselves in. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. For every situation of life, if you will look to God, you will discover that he has more than enough grace to meet your needs. Haven't spoken about sheepdogs yet, have we? Two sheepdogs follow the flock. One is goodness and one is mercy. And they are leading the sheep towards the house of the Lord. God is leading you to dwell in his house through his goodness and his mercy. When you know the power of Jehovah Rohi, you'll discover that God is able to meet all of your spiritual, directional, physical, emotional, and eternal needs. He is the good shepherd who loves you and cares for you and wants to be in relationship with you. As we come to an end, I have a question for you. Who is your shepherd? We all have a shepherd or something that we lean on, somebody. For some, it might be money, their pension or their investments. For others, it might be their job, the security and power it gives them. For others, it might be in a person, a loved one. My hope and my prayer is that your shepherd is God himself. Father in heaven, who wants to restore your soul and to lead you in paths of righteousness all the days of your life. So will you put your trust in Jehovah Rohi? Will you, like David, say that the Lord is my shepherd? Will you take that step to put your trust in him? And to finish, we'll read again this verse, this poem. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in pastures green. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup, it overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.